Herzlich willkommen zu Women Hit Harder, dem Female Power Podcast mit Julia Dorni. Im Gespräch mit starken Persönlichkeiten aus Sport, Wirtschaft und dem Leben. Herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Ausgabe von Women Hit Harder, dem Female Power Podcast. Aber heute haben wir einen ganz besonderen Gast, und zwar englischsprachig. Tori Bock, she is a professional jump roper. And that's why we switch into English. Hi Tori, nice that you're here.
Hallo, danke.
Can you say in German what you do, what we just...
I can't always remember. Okay, so hello, mein Name ist Tori. Ich komme aus den USA und
Ich bin Weltmeister.
Ich bin Weltmeister
im Springseilspringen.
Im Springseilspringen, yeah.
That was so good. So, Tori, you are 27. You're a multiple professional jump roper, and you started rope skipping at the age of 5. That's almost like I do my sport. So it's 22 for you, 23 for me. That's
cool.
Pretty long. So please tell me about how it started and... Yeah, just tell me about your journey. It's so interesting.
Cool. So I was really lucky that there was a jump rope team where I grew up in West Virginia. And I happened to be at like an AAU, which is a junior Olympic tournament in the States. I saw jump rope and just, I fell in love. Like I knew I wanted to do it. So I begged my parents to take me to jump rope practice, and we had this team in the area. I went and was absolutely terrible. I couldn't jump. I was really, really bad. But I went home and kept practicing. And my mom actually saw how much I loved to jump and just kept trying and trying. So she started coming to the practices as well to learn how to be a coach. And then she learned how to judge also. So she's also heavily involved in the sport of jump rope. And her and I have kind of, you know, grown up in the sport together. And we share that as well, which is really special. But yeah, I fell in love with it and couldn't get enough of it. And, you know, all uphill from there. Yeah,
it's crazy. Yeah, and I saw on your webpage, it's crazy. You travel the world, you're teaching, you are performing in a variety of events and shows, and you're a world level athlete. Like 30, we had this 30-time world champion.
Yeah, it gets confusing to people because
you're
not
30.
So our sport works a lot like track or swimming, where we have multiple events that you can compete in. So that's how those titles happen. And at any world tournament, we could have over 10 events. And right now, how our sport works is that you can compete in all of them. It's absolutely exhausting, and some events are solo, some are with one other person, some are groups of three or four, and so on. So you have a lot of freedom to be able to decide what you compete in, but yeah, that's how you can get multiple titles.
Okay, now I finally understand. This is like, swimming.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
But you are preferring to do it on your own or in a team?
I've done actually everything. I love team events. Those are probably my favorite, especially double dutch, where there's three of us and we have the two ropes. I hope most people know what double dutch is. And this is really fun because there's so much creativity and you get to work with other people and have a lot of fun with the group. So this is really awesome. I have kind of been more of a solo jumper just because of where I am located. And so when I went to university, there were no other jumpers. And so I was training predominantly on my own. Same with, you know, when I'm traveling the world, it's really fun to meet jumpers in other countries. This is super cool because, you know, we don't always speak the same language, but jump rope is definitely a universal language. And so we can meet up and do that. But as far as competition goes, where you're in a gym every day training, you know, this can be hard unless you're directly with teammates every single day. So, yeah.
So can you please tell us what brought you to Germany? Because I know for a fact that you're kind of living permanently now here.
Well, it's on. I don't want my family to hear that. Okay, I'm still am based in the U.S., actually. I've just been working a lot in Germany. It started about 2 years ago. I was here only for 3 weeks for a show. It was really last minute. The company, they needed performers, and I happened to be free. And then they were happy with the performance, so I came back, did a little bit, went home, came back again. And each time I didn't know I was going to be coming back again. So the contracts are pretty short, usually 1 to 3 months. It just kind of kept getting them as I went. And then last year, I got a 6-month contract with a group show. And then a new show started this year, which we got. And then actually was stuck here during COVID or else I should have been back in the States. But honestly, it's been a great experience to be here, especially in this like really strange time. I miss my family, but it's been a pretty nice situation in Germany too.
Well, this is crazy because at the beginning of the year, I was supposed to give a seminar, like a class or a clinic in New York. It was in March. And at home, I finished my favorite M&Ms, the peanut butter M&Ms.
Yeah.
Because I knew I was going to the US to get some more, you know? And then I could not, because by this time, you were not allowed to like go get into the country, but you could still leave the country.
Yeah.
So this, I could not go there and I had no M&Ms. So that was good and bad for me at the same time.
So have you been to the US before?
Yeah, I have been.
Okay, where have you gone?
Yeah, pretty much all over. Like more the coast, like East and West Coast, not so much the Midlands.
Yeah, cool.
But yeah, so I love these M&Ms. I'm kind of addicted. Not to any more sweets, but these.
Bring some of those or like ship them over sometime. Yeah, my mom can like, hey mom, if you're watching this, we need some M&Ms with peanut butter.
Oh my god, yeah. This is, oh my god. So Tori, you also work as a trainer, choreographer, designer. Designer? Can you please explain that?
Yeah. So I went to the Ohio State University and I studied industrial design and pre-medicine. So what I wanted to do was actually be a physician who can design medical devices. And a lot of my projects were based on designing health or fitness products, surgical devices. I did fitness initiatives, like these types of products in my undergrad. And my plan was to go to medical school after graduating. And my brother was actually going to do the same, so we were trying to go to Ohio State together. But after undergrad, I wasn't ready for this. And I got a performance opportunity with Cirque du Soleil, and I was like, okay, I have to do this now. When else will I ever have the opportunity?
Now is the time for sure, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But for sure, I studied design. We did a lot of graphic work, a lot of industrial design work, a lot of computer models, animations, all of this type of stuff. So I also still dabble in that and do graphic design for people and stuff like that on the side here as well. So, yeah.
Very good. And on top of that, you have your own company.
Yeah.
It's called Tallyjump.
Tallyjump, yes.
Please explain that.
Ah, yeah, this is super cool. So 2 years ago, we started it with a Kickstarter, which is a crowdfunding application, I guess. So if you don't know what crowdfunding is, it works off of people donating money for a product to happen. So we had a certain goal online. If we did not reach that goal based off of people's donations with regard to receiving the product after it's made, then it just doesn't get produced. No one lost money. We just lost some time making it happen. But it was really successful. We raised 40,000 euros, which was pretty cool. And we started manufacturing the device. And how it works is it's a sensor. I should have it at the table. It's over there. But you put it under your right shoelace, and then it connects to a Tallyjump app on your phone, and you connect them via Bluetooth. And what it does is it counts your jumps, and it tracks your training. And so this, especially coming from being a solo jumper at college, at university, where I didn't have people to count me or to practice with or, you know, to get that back and forth. And so this was, you know, kind of that type of brainchild of like, how can we help people who are training alone? Maybe they can't count themselves. Maybe they want to be able to track those sessions. And that's what Tallyjump is for. And we're constantly improving it. It's a small business right now. Our goal initially was for competitive jump rope athletes and to be able to provide an accurate scoring system that removes human error. Mm-hmm. That was also a big emphasis on the device. And so now we're starting to add kind of more uses for it as far as interval training and combining music and kind of reaching even the greater fitness aspect of jump ropers. So yeah, it's been really cool. I've learned so much. The crowdfunding part of it has been really interesting. And also the company is based in France. It just kind of worked out. I can give you the backstory on that. So that's been really interesting, working with French IT and business developers as well, kind of the cross-cultural interactions there. And kind of how it started was a long time ago, a lady from my city in West Virginia, she jumped on the team that I started with. Her name is Brie Moreau. And she moved to France and she wanted to start a jump rope team. She got married, had kids. So she contacted us in West Virginia and said, hey, could you come over and help us develop a jump rope program in Nayu, France? And so we started doing that once or twice a year since I was in junior high. And then a few years ago, her husband, who's a business developer, was just like, you know, how do you think you could solve this problem of like eliminating human error or judging errors in the sport? And so I was telling him, oh, this would be really cool if we had this device that you could, you know, use and count your jumps. And he's like, okay, I can make that happen. I mean, yeah, right. Like, that's okay, whatever. Sure, if you can make that happen, that's perfect. We'll do it, not even thinking that this would ever happen. I returned to France 1 year later to work with the team, and he's like, okay, I have a team of people. We're ready to make this company. I was like, what? What do you mean we're ready to make this company? So that's kind of how it randomly happened, because it's really crazy to go through the whole manufacturing process of literally making a tangible object. Like, so this has been, it's been crazy.
So to put it in a nutshell, at the age of 27, you're a multiple world champion. You are an entrepreneur. You have a master's.
Yeah, I'm getting it, but yeah.
Yeah, you're getting it, about to get it. And it just started. Oh my God, Tari, how can you just manage to do this?
This is probably why my German isn't so good right now, because I really need to take German classes and I'm not focusing on it. And please forgive me, all of Germany. But once I finish schooling, I hope I can learn more German. But yeah.
It's actually not true, because Tari knows a few phrases. So please, Tari.
Oh no.
This is your chance to almost dein Deutsch zu zeigen.
Yeah. Okay. So my friends taught me a few really important German phrases that they said I would absolutely need. And clearly I do, because they're coming in handy right now. But let's see. Das ist nicht das Gebo from I. This is maybe my favorite. I could use this one, I guess, a lot. Aus wie Scheiß im Schuh. Also the perfect phrase. Gespannt wie ein Flitzebogen. Und eingeschenkten Gal schaut man nicht ins Maul.
Oh, so, sehr gut, sehr gut. Yeah.
These are very important. But actually, in the show I'm doing currently, so we're performing right now in Hanover, one of the performers, during my act, he comes on stage and is, it's actually a boxing, we're spoofing on a boxing match, so I have rounds in my act. He comes on stage and is my coach, and every day he started giving me a new German word, which is really cool. Of course, I'm like crazy out of breath in this moment, and he's trying to tell me this word like in slow motion. Like, I never really get it totally right, but he's given me some good words like Handschuh and like these types of like basic nouns. So I am learning.
You said it quite well. Springseil.
Springseil. Yeah, yeah. I have to get this one right. This is like,
you
what
should
I do.
Know that.
This is imperative. So.
And now I have a little challenge for you. It's actually the first time that we're doing this.
Oh, no.
But since Tari is a native English speaker, we have to give her some German tongue twisters.
Okay.
Zungenbrecher.
Okay.
You know Zungenbrecher?
Tongue twisters. Tongue twisters. Okay.
Can you try saying it?
Can you say it one more time?
Zungenbrecher.
Zungenbrecher.
Yes, very good. So just ignore the first two lines.
Okay.
Here,
how do I know that this is okay, what I'm saying?
We'll beep. The audience will tell you.
Oh, no. Okay. Blaukraut bleibt Blaukraut Blaukraut bleibt Blaukraut. What?
Okay. It's like red cabbage. It's
Blaukraut,
red cabbage.
Okay.
And wedding dress is wedding dress. Pretty much that's
okay. Blaukraut bleibt Blaukraut Blaukraut Blaukraut. Braukleid. Oh, don't we love German? Okay. Fischer's Fritz fished. Fischer's Fritz.
Yes.
Fritze? Oh, this is really hard too. Am I saying any of that right?
It's quite good.
Okay.
Fischer's Fritze fished frische Fische. Frische Fische fished. Fischer's Fritze.
Okay, now why are you so good at that? This would be hard, I feel like, even if it was an English phrase.
What? I don't know. Blaukraut bleibt Blaukraut und Brautkleid bleibt Brautkleid.
That's
you know,
amazing.
As a journalist.
Yeah, okay. Print.
So, but now you're challenging me back, because I have two more in English.
Perfect.
And you start them and then I'll continue.
So you know these?
No, I just found them out yesterday recently.
Ah, okay.
And so, yeah.
So Betty Butter had some butter. but she said, this butter's bitter. If I bake this bitter butter, it would make my batter bitter. But a bit of bitter butter, that would make my batter better. So she bought a bit of butter, better than her bitter butter, and she baked it in her batter, and the batter was not bitter. So 'twas Betty better, better Betty butter, bought a bit of better butter.
So very good. Now it's my turn. Oh my God.
This
oh
is God. Hard.
This is going to be so hard.
Okay.
Okay. Betty Butter had some butter, but she said, this is butter's bitter. If I bake this bitter butter, it would make me better bitter. But a bit of better butter, that would make my better better. So she bought a bit of butter, better than her bitter butter, and she baked it in her batter, and the batter was not bitter. So 'twas better Betty Butter bought a bit of Betty Butter.
That was good.
Was it?
Yeah.
My tongue broke.
You know, you could really say a bunch of different words and I wouldn't yeah. know. So
now we continue with the number four.
Okay, okay. Oh. Let's see. A skunk sat on a stump and thunk the stump stunk, but the stump thunk the skunk stunk. This is nice. This is really nice.
I think this is pretty much from elementary school. Or
yeah,
something.
This is nice.
Okay.
I wanted a pet skunk once.
But skunk is pet. Okay. Skunk sat on a stump and thunk the stump stank. Stunk? But the stump thunk skunk stunk. Oh my God. Skunk sat on a stump. Yeah. Good. Oh my God. Okay.
This one's hard because you could accidentally say some not very nice words.
But that was good. So we had the first challenge because okay. Today is new. We have a few challenges.
Okay.
We'll do some arm wrestling later. We'll do rope. I will always say rope jumping.
This is okay.
The other way around?
Jump roping. Jump roping, yeah. It's actually, so in the US, we say jump rope as the name of the sport. But in Europe, they usually use rope skipping.
Yeah, this is how I know it.
Yeah, this was always a little confusing to us that we have these different terms, but
same. Rope skipping. So we do a challenge in rope skipping, with eyes closed and open.
Oh.
And what else did I? What else do we have? We have, I don't know if you really do it, but a high kick challenge.
A high kick? Okay. Yeah, like I'm
you're,
down.
You're Let's quite try flexible. Whatever. Can you do spread legs?
On one leg.
But like this way?
Middle? Oh no, can you do that? That's really difficult.
Yeah, we could try it later.
It's like, yeah, okay. Most circus performers can do this, though, but not me.
I said it already, but I have to say it one more time. You're 30-time Grand World Jump Rope Champion, Tori Box. Oh my God. Winner across all age divisions.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You've killed it.
Yeah.
This is what I know. Yeah, you killed it.
Thank
and
you.
You're 5-time all-around Grand World Ramp... Sorry. 5-time all-around Grand World Jump Rope Champion. It's almost like a tongue twister.
Yeah, there's a lot of words in there, just to be specific.
So, and what you said earlier, you're a performing artist. So you perform for Cirque du Soleil, Flip Fabrique, Rope Works, Cirque Dreams and Cirque Productions, and GOP Varieté in the französische Sprache, Theater Germany.
That's perfect.
So this is how it started. This is why you really came to Germany?
Yeah, to perform. Yeah.
Like, how did they, like, find you?
We were actually recommended. So I came in a group of three. We did a team act to begin. We just happened to kind of be recommended by a friend in the sport who's also performing. And it just kind of took off from there. Very lucky, very by chance that it even happened. But I'm so grateful for this because I absolutely love performing. I've always wanted to be in that position to be able to do it. I love live theater. It's different every day. The audiences are different. You never know what's going to happen. Sometimes really weird things happen. And it's really fun. It's funky, fresh, fun every day. So I love it.
Like, I remember how I found you was... You were suggested to me on Instagram.
Okay.
Because I guess like sport and athlete, it like fits together. And then it was like, oh my God, this is, I love it. And then
cool.
when I saw your profile, it increased heavily. Like you started above like 10,000.
Okay.
And then you're like, now we're at 90,000 or whatever. And
yeah.
like just week within weeks.
Yeah. This is really crazy. It's really crazy to me and super unexpected. And it's all because of the COVID, like, isolation situation. And we had just, our show was forced to finish. So it started performing in Essen with this new GOP show called Funky Town. And one weekend, and the theaters have to close, of course. So we're basically stuck in Germany. And theater was awesome. We had an apartment, a place to stay. And I had this really cool little patio outside, which is where most of my videos are.
With the, like, red color.
Yeah, exactly. And, okay, there's some haters that are like, it needs power wash. And I'm like, yeah, I don't really have control of that. Or I weed almost daily, but they come back, you know. But I was so lucky to have this space to be able to use literally just outside my window every day. And so there happened to be a video challenge, I think, a few CrossFitters and a company Noble Project put on. And it was to win a pair of shoes, and Noble's like my favorite shoes, so I was like, I have to enter this contest. And it was the Blinding Lights Dance Challenge. I know Tia, Claire, Katrin, and Brooke Wells, who represent Noble, all like posted this video of like, do this challenge. So okay, this would be fun. It gives me something to do. So I made the video, had a blast making it, and it went over super well on Instagram because I hadn't really been posting any jump rope videos up to that point. And so I was like, you know what? I had a blast doing that. I'll just start making some fun videos. I have this time, a very depressing time, and jump rope always makes me happy. So let's just see what happens. And as I was posting these videos, I started getting messages from people who were feeling that same way of like, this is a depressing time. We don't have much motivation, but your videos have made us really happy. And now we want to exercise. We want to jump rope. I was like, oh, this is super cool. I don't know why people are watching my videos or how they found me, but that's really inspiring for me to continue. So I just kept making these videos and having fun and enjoying every minute of it. And I really have the most amazing supportive fans. They just are the sweetest with their messages and giving me song suggestions and ideas. And as a competitor in the sport where we have specific rules, you know, you have to hit the quadrants on the floor during a routine, or you have to meet XYZ requirements of a freestyle routine. We're used to having these restrictions in the sport. And then coming into the performance world, it kind of blows that away because the audience, they don't care necessarily how crazy difficult a jump rope skill is. Skills move so quickly too as we do them, so they might not even see them. Something that maybe took me like 3 years to do, they might have no idea. And so this totally has changed how I jump and my style of that on stage. And also in these videos, I see that, you know, people are responding to moves that I didn't, you know, even think about before. And this has really helped me grow as an artist and creativity and wise, and just have a lot of fun doing it. So I'm having fun. I hope other people are now picking up jump ropes and trying out the sport as well, because it's really fun time. You can do it anywhere.
Unfortunately, it's not an Olympic sport, just as my sport, MMA.
Yeah, yeah.
But you could do like acrobatic. Is that the right word?
Yeah.
Are you? Like, could you go on the Olympic team?
For acrobat?
Is it like your plan or your idea anyway?
We're working really hard actually to get jump rope into the Olympics. So just a little shout out to our international federation is International Jump Rope Union, IJRU. And we are now an observational sport. And we're talking to Ames and Gafes, and we do sport accord conventions and talk with the Olympic Committee. So we're getting there. We have 72 countries that we're working with right now. And the goal, you know, is to get official national federations, have everyone be doing competitions, have a developed jump rope program, and be able to grow athletes in the sport. And this is happening. We're really excited about this. Of course, COVID and the pandemic changes absolutely everything, like what every sport is looking like right now. And this is hard because we were supposed to have a tournament actually a couple weeks ago. We were going to have the world tournament, obviously couldn't. So it's figuring out how to move into the future with that. And, you know, I think jump rope actually has a really nice opportunity for this because we can be in videos and we can have that aspect of the sport as well. So we are working on the Olympics.
It's the same with MMA.
Yes.
It's so good.
Yes. Yes.
Exactly the same point pretty much.
Cool.
So it could happen within the next 8 years.
Very
pretty
cool.
Certainly.
Yeah.
But yeah, for a lot of people it seems to be too violent, and judo and everything has a big lobby, and
okay,
they don't want MMA to, you know, become that popular, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
But definitely we are ambassadors for the sport.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. It's a really cool position. Yeah, I mean, it's like we're pioneers, you know, for something new coming in. Like, how crazy is that?
But this year was crazy, man. I was supposed to have so many, you know, good fights.
Yeah.
But nothing. Until the end of the year, there's nothing happening, really.
Yeah, it's really a sad situation.
Well, I guess we have to, like, soak it in.
Yeah.
Use the power on a different...
Yeah, exactly.
In a different way.
Turn it into, like, a positive... Yeah.
It was not... It's not necessarily easy. I mean, I don't know. But at least you have the shows. Right now, we have pretty much nothing.
Okay. Did you say that you have a fight coming up? I thought I saw that on Instagram, maybe. Like,
actually, that was my post for my April and June fight.
Okay.
And I was supposed to have a title fight in November.
Okay.
But I've, obviously, it's not happening.
Yeah.
And since we're not the UFC.
Yeah.
Who had the Fight Island
project,
I guess this year is...
Okay.
Tori, now I would say we should move over to the rubric. Did I say it right? Rubric.
Okay.
15 quick questions. Okay. We should make a dance of it.
I don't know.
Okay, let's start. Okay. You just answer, like, instinctively?
Yeah.
Instinctively?
Instinctively, yeah, yeah, cool.
Oh my god.
I got you. All good.
Coffee or tea?
Tea.
Dog or cat?
Dog.
House or flat?
House.
Bicycle or car?
Bicycle.
Train or plane?
Ooh, train.
White or black?
Black.
Half empty or half full?
Half full.
Bar or at home?
Home.
Pumps or sneakers?
What?
Pumps?
Oh,
like
pumps?
Like high heels?
Pumps. I do love them, believe it. Okay, keep going. Sorry.
Job or family?
Family, yeah.
Water still or sparkling?
Still.
Water? Ice or milk ice?
Ice. What's milk? What are,
like ice cream.
Ah.
Like water. Like, you know, like a sorbet.
Wait, water or ice cream?
No.
Is the,
okay. No. Is, we say Wassereis. Like ice
okay,
cream
we don't have
made
this...
of like on
okay.
water base. So no milk.
So milk ice cream? Yeah, is my answer.
Jogging or cycling?
Cycling.
Wedding, yes or no?
Someday.
Are you going to have a small or a big party?
Oh, Lord. Probably small. Who knows?
Okay, we are done with this. It's just fun because we like introduce these questions to the last few guests, and it's always fun because everyone's like, good question.
Those are great. Do I ask you back?
No, no.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
What do you? What's a man thing for you, and what's a girl or women's thing? Could you like say that?
Like in jump rope?
No, in general, in life.
Oh.
Like. Like, you know, soccer and beer was supposed to be a man thing, but obviously girls or women can also enjoy this.
Yeah, I mean, well, I grew up playing soccer, so to me, it's also a woman thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
You could also say no, there's no difference, not anymore. Maybe there used to be. It's up to you. What's your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking in terms of our sport and kind of the difference between
guys
and
girls. Is there more
girls
or men in general?
At younger ages, it's more female. Long-term older, it's actually more male. This is super cool because the guys that do stick with the sport into older age that now have the strength, they can just do some really crazy things. And that's where I was kind of thinking of maybe the gender differences that are offered is just the amount of strength that guys can put into the sport. Just doing creative moves like acrobatics, this type of stuff. I mean, girls can also do that. And that's actually been part of growing up. That was always my goal in presenting a freestyle routine in a competition was to try to be like the guys, to try to be as strong as them. And a lot of girls were doing these beautiful dancey skills and that just wasn't, now I do more of them for sure, but that wasn't me at all. I was always trying to do the backflips and the super hard power skills and strength moves. So yeah, I would like to say that, you know, girls can definitely do that also, but there's for sure just differences of style even that come with that. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you think distinguishes a hero?
Ooh, it's never giving up. Yeah, just continuing to practice and work and not give up on a goal.
Would you say there's a difference between you and a hero?
I wouldn't ever think of myself like that, you know, but I would consider more of like my mom, my dad, and my brother the heroes, and always trying to replicate or recreate those parts of who they are and try to add them to my life as well. So in the case of my brother, he was a professional soccer player. He was in the MLS and played for the New England Revolution. And he did this after college, and now he's a fourth year in medical school at Ohio State, probably doing interventional radiology, we don't know. But he is just one of the hardest workers ever. Like, I admire him so much for his ability to just keep going and just keep persevering no matter what. And this is something I try to do, to be like him. And he's just really a bright guy, and I try look at him as that type of hero in my life for sure. And then my mom, she is so intense and full of just passion. And whatever she decides to do, she's just fully putting her heart and into it. And she treats people the same way. She's fully putting her heart into helping people. And this is something I also try to recreate, is just that never giving up of helping others. And then my dad is one of the wisest and most kind people I could ever meet, and just willingly gives up himself to help others. And so these are our three heroes I for sure look up to and try my best to like recreate in my life. I think I fall short of them all the time, but to be able to just try to keep pursuing and never giving up on following their lead for sure.
That's very nice. Yeah. Actually, since you're traveling a lot, just like me, and did you figure out like a lot of gender stereotypes with like traveling? Like USA is obviously different than Germany, and obviously when you go to the whatever, Arab Emirates or whatever, then it's totally different than, I don't know.
As far as gender goes?
Or like prejudices, or a girl and a man thing?
Yeah, okay. I mean, I will say I'm very lucky to work a lot in countries where there's a lot of freedom in that regard. I have worked in Dubai, actually, and honestly, the experience for me was quite good. I never had personally any issues, because I just know that the culture is a bit more strict. And actually, this was one of my MBA papers I just submitted like a week ago. It was about that, those differences that exist kind of in the different cultures and respecting that and what that means. I know for me, I really don't focus too much on those types of things or anything that can kind of hinder my goals or what I want to be able to do. And what I want to do is do what I love and enjoy it, and haters are gonna hate, you know,
like it's still the same.
It always is, but I don't know, I feel like I can kind of ignore that pretty easily and just keep going forward, and otherwise I haven't experienced a lot of issues otherwise.
So then it's good for you, I guess.
Yeah I've been, I think, lucky in that way. Maybe
it's your nature.
Yeah,
because you're so happy. And
I think I really just kind of don't focus on that, and just anything negative I'm like, let's find a positive and let's keep going, and that's not what I'm here for. I'm not here to be brought down by anything, and let's do the job, you know. Like,
yeah
so I'm not focusing on other.
So that's a good point. I like that.
Yeah.
What makes you happy?
Jump rope, of course. No, it's just enjoying moments. And I am so lucky to have really amazing experience, like this experience, like how we met and just interacted and meeting a really nice person who is a strong female and doing some really positive things for women, but also your sport and you know, it's been a really nice interaction. I'm so lucky for this. I feel very grateful for so many things that happened in my life. And, you know, it's not always the case. You know, there's negative things that happen as well, but it's how you perceive those things and making something negative, is it really negative if you can turn it into a positive and help it affect your life? So I have these really great opportunities, and I just love to live in the moment and take advantage of that. And just find positivity in everything and stay happy that way.
Well, I have to admit, sometimes the much I love my sport, at the same time, it can make me super sad when things not work out the way,
or yeah,
training was shit or sparring was shit. I don't know. It's frustrating sometimes. But at the end of the day, I mean, I do what I love.
Yeah.
Or I love what I do. So I would not complain.
Yeah.
Maybe about health issues.
Yeah. Of course, yeah.
When you want to, like, your brain is telling you, I want to, but you can't because you have, I don't know, injury on whatever.
Yeah.
That happens here and then, I guess.
Yeah.
When you train a lot, it's just normal.
I know, of course, as women, we have sometimes different issues than guys have as well to go through, and yeah, for sure. But all of those negative experiences, though, I think they only fuel the fire for, you have a bad practice, why are you mad? Like, why are you upset about it? You're upset because you care. And so that only fuels the fire to come back the next day, hit it even harder, do even better. And then when you do have that positive result, you feel even greater about that fight and that journey. So we can always turn into a positive, right?
That's a good one. I'm inspired. I'm inspired by you, Tori.
Oh,
it's good. Like, I like the positive energy. It's just, like, I don't know. It's good.
Ah, cool.
Thanks.
Danke.
What does Women Hit Harder mean for you personally?
I was thinking about this morning. I love the title of this. And this is also why I was kind of reflecting on our interaction, was how it is really important to interact with other females that are also being the strong, influensive women. Because, you know, we have a lot to offer. It doesn't, you know... We have a lot of different issues than guys, which is what we're talking about before. And I think it's important that we take advantage of what does make us women and that does make us special, and that we make sure that we can shout that from the rooftops, so to say, and just keep going and being able to pursue what we want and what we love to do as well. So that's what I was thinking of when I hear women hit harder. What does that mean? That means that we're awesome. We are awesome women. We are strong women, and we can absolutely pursue our dreams and goals and what we want to do, and no one should be able to stop us from doing that. So,
and luckily or hopefully, we can inspire other women and girls
to do the same. Yeah.
Be positive. Make the best of it.
Yeah.
Out of it. Of it.
All of it works.
All of it works.
All of it. Of it. Yeah.
What motivates you?
Yeah, I mean, goals. Goals for sure motivate me.
Also, do you set them too high?
It can happen. I think it's really important to be able to break down, okay, this is your ultimate goal, but what are the steps to get there? You know, okay, my goal when I was younger is I wanted to break the triple unders world record. Well, it's not going to happen overnight, right? And if I was expecting that, I would have been immediately frustrated and maybe even lost interest at that point. So it's important to pursue smaller goals, smaller pieces, you know, take bites in smaller pieces, so to say, to get to those goals. And that's definitely something that is really important as an athlete, is to be able to gauge what that's going to take to get to something. Because if you underestimate it or even overestimate it, you can have some issues as an athlete, or, you know, your journey changes. And so I think being able to know yourself, know your body, know your mind, and constantly be able to reflect on both of those and how you're changing. This is really important to be able to pursue your goals.
What are you telling yourself prior competition?
Yeah, first of all, you have to have the training. If you hadn't done the training before competition, you're not going to feel good going in. And I've been there. All aspects of not feeling good or not being ready or having a bad day, I've been through all of it. You know, as a competitor for so many years, you know, things happen, and a lot of times you can't control it, but you can control your training and you can control how you prepare for a competition. And you know, the day before a competition, if you're feeling not good, it's a little late for that, but you know,
it can still switch the other day.
Yeah, exactly. You just have to do the best that you can, you know. But yeah, there's a lot of preparation beforehand as far as training and getting ready. And once again, things might, you know, you might have an injury that affects how you're preparing for the competition, and that has totally happened before as well. I've broken my bones before, you know, a world competition or something like this. Definitely. And there's even days where I feel ready for competition, I'm walking on the floor, and I'm like, okay, I need focus, I can do this, and it just falls apart. Like, it just doesn't go how I wanted it to go. And yeah, that day really, it sucks. but, you know, you use it to reflect on how can you prevent that as much as possible going into the next competition. And jump rope is really a unique sport for that, because I guess we're pretty different than MMA because you're fighting with someone directly. And so you know, there's a lot of unpredictable things that can happen, and you're engaging against your opponent,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's
true. That, do you have a better way that you want to describe that? Or?
No, it's perfectly fine.
Okay. Yeah, and jump rope, it obviously
doesn't
work like that.
It's just you, it's the rope, and it's the time or the exercise you're doing, right?
Yeah.
With me, it changes like every second.
Yeah.
Anticipation,
yeah,
or whatever your opponent is doing, you have to like adjust to it. And...
Yeah, this is really interesting. And as much as I love that aspect of sports, as a soccer player, I do get a bit of that. I really love jump rope because it is just you and a rope. And this was something that was really important to me as a competitor growing up in the sport. Was it wasn't about my other competitors. Like I honestly avoided watching routines. For the most part at competitions and even prior to that, because I didn't want any outside influence on my work and what I was doing, because I was there to do the best I could do, mm-hmm. to break, you know, to jump faster than I did before, to train harder than I did before, to get new skills that I didn't before have. And it was for me. And so going into a competition, there are times where I won and I wasn't happy at all with my performance. And so, yeah, okay, it's nice that I won that day, you know, grateful for that. But it always felt a bit kind of a numbing experience, like, okay, I'm not so happy. Why? Why did I not do well? What can I do better in the future to improve myself? And then there are the days where I absolutely, like, am
smashed
so happy, smashed it, and the results didn't work out. And that's just how the sport works, is there's some subjectivity to things, or there's just people that are better, you know. That's just what it comes down to, is okay, well, I didn't win, I did my best, now I can go back to training and do better.
What does a usual practice look with you like? Are you training once or twice a day?
Yeah, so right now it's a whole different schedule in theater and working wise. Now I am ultra paranoid about not getting injured, because this is now my job, you know. I'm getting paid to perform. So there's the pressure of being as perfect as I possibly can every show, because once again, I have an audience. I'm a professional, you know.
You're a professional performer.
Yeah, exactly. And then also staying healthy, because I don't want to jeopardize my job, but also I don't want to jeopardize the other artists in the show as well, because if an artist has to go out or something, this affects everyone and everything. So, yeah, it's definitely different now. For competition, it changes once more. We're in the gym, you know, sometimes 5 hours a day. And then in addition to that, we're doing gymnastics training, of course, stretching, all the preparation before and after that comes from directly working out. And oftentimes we divide those practices into 2 times a day. So we're doing the morning and the evening practices. And, yeah, it's a lot.
And for how long? I mean, how many jump ropes are you doing in 1 minute? Is that like an exercise you do?
Actually, so we don't have a world record for this event, but I did have the national record, or I do have that. Oh, I can't even remember what it is.
She doesn't know anymore.
It's just under 380, I believe. I think it's like 378 in 1 minute. 378 jumps in 1 minute.
300?
Yeah.
I remember,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, it's like really... It's one of those numbers. But yeah, because it's...
Like...
Yeah, it's really fast. But we use wire ropes, so they're super light. They cut through the air, and...
That's why you have to telly jump. Now I get it. I would not... My head would be like...
Well, that's the thing, is
shaking,
so
when counting.
We're jumping, you know, we're controlling a rope. When you get to double dutch speeds, where you have two turners and then someone's just focusing on jumping, it's so fast. You cannot count. It's really difficult. So judges, we usually have a tally counter, like a manual counter.
Mm-hmm.
And there's typically 3 to 5 judges that do this. And you only count the right foot of a jumper, because it's so quick. So we're alternating feet like this, right?
Yeah, just like we do.
Yeah. And then double it. But yeah, it's crazy. And that's a problem we're trying to solve in the sport, you know, is making sure that athletes are accurately counted.
Do you have like pain in your ankles or knees sometimes? Because it's like for the cartilage, I can't remember, like all the jumping all the time.
Yeah. So it's important that you really gauge your body and understand. And this is actually part of my pre-show regimen. Mm-hmm. Is I come to the theater super early, so it's relaxed day as far as like doing my hair and makeup and stuff like this. But then I go through kind of a body check. Checkup of like how I'm feeling, where I'm feeling really tight, if I have any, you know, ongoing injuries or pains or stuff like this, and trying to do my best to warm up and solve those problems beforehand. And that's a constant thing. You can't let down on taking care of your body, for sure. And now that I'm doing a lot of these videos, they're outside on concrete. This is not the, if you have another option to jump on besides concrete, I would suggest that you go for a softer surface for sure, because it can take its toll. It's more exhausting and it definitely can, you know, be more force on your joints and everything like that. But yeah, so I really have to focus on my body. I have really been injured. I will say that I've broken bones. I've torn muscles. I've had strains on ligaments and tendons. Fortunately, I haven't torn anything. A common injury in our sport is actually an Achilles tendon tear.
No, what?
Achilles tendon tear.
What is it?
The tendon behind your chin here.
Mm-hmm, I know. Mm-hmm.
This is so common in our sports because of the use of our lower legs. And this is something we all get really paranoid about. We talk about, okay, we have to make sure we warm up our Achilles tendons.
And
our
use good tapes or kinesio tapes.
Yeah, a lot of athletes.
Treatments and warm.
Exactly.
You have to stay warm.
Yeah. This is really important. And I know in competitions, those are long days, really long days. And it's not always...
You're warm, you're cold, you're warm.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's exhausting just staying warmed up or prepared to go perform.
Sweating all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you get cold and you get tired and then energy. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I remember that from judo tournaments.
Okay.
Where you had a fight, then you had to have to wait for, I don't know, 30 minutes, and then it's your turn again.
Yeah.
And, like, stay warm, stay
warm.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a roller coaster
journey.
At night,
you're just, like, super exhausted. It's like, yep. I sleep just like this.
Yeah, this is really hard. And we only have those competitions every, you know, the world competition is once a year. And so being able to train and then you're exhausted from the competition, this is really crazy. So you're also training not only for the event that you're doing, but also just for the endurance of the tournament itself. You know, and I do like the performance part of this because we don't have to worry about that at all. I know exactly when I'm going on stage for the most part. And, you know, we have the show times. And this is really nice part of the predictability. Helps you stay healthy as well as being able to have the regimens of how I warm up when I do it and that type of thing, for sure.
So what is your perfect day looking like? If you are not training or not competing, what is Tori's best day?
Well, performing, for sure. If I'm not doing the competitions or like training, it's got to be performing.
So you do actually make a difference between performing and competing.
Yeah, I really separate the two, for sure. I approach both differently. Mentally, they're very differently. The tricks I do are very different. You know, everything about it is quite different. Definitely two different worlds.
You can promise me some tricks later, right?
Oh, for sure. Girl, you're going to learn how to do some cool stuff.
Nice. So what are your three basic foods? Like, what is your basic food that you always have at home? Like, the top three?
Oh, bananas. Unfortunately, I don't always eat those fast enough.
Then they get brown.
Yeah,
and
then that's really kind of sad. I really like blueberries a lot, so I try to always have those around. And then tea. Yeah, I always have like some type of flavored tea at home. I do love it, like a green tea. Actually, I feel like there's a lot more tea options in Europe, which I like as far as fruit teas go. Like, you guys have the rooibos and the, it's my favorite flavor, Hollander?
Holunder?
Yeah. We don't really have this so much in the US.
Elderflower, you call it.
Elderflower, yeah. Mm. We don't have these types of tea, so I love that in Germany. I always get it.
It's just like Earl Grey, like black and some green.
Yeah,
and like,
not so exciting.
Peppermint, probably.
Yeah, they're not as fun.
So you have to ship a lot of tea over.
Yeah, I'll have to.
So you send me the M&Ms and I send you some tea. If you
like this.
So deal.
Ongoing exchange.
Where do you see yourself? This is like a busty question, right? Where do you see yourself in like 5 to 10 years?
Oh no, it's like college essays again or something. These were so hard to answer. I had no idea.
Just going with the flow?
Yeah, I think this is true. For sure, I have goals of you know, getting my MBA, finishing the MBA degree, and growing in the sport, helping the sport get into the Olympics would also be a really good goal. As far as my personal life, this is such a hard question because I made these plans when I was younger, and I really kind of hated doing them because I knew that whatever I do in my life, it's not a path that exists. You know, I was always going to school to go to medical school, and this was, it's not an easy path, obviously. I had to be very sharp in school. I was always doing all the geeky things like math competitions and science fairs, and I loved it. But what was nice was that that path, I knew the path. I knew exactly what I needed to do for the end result. And this is really hard now because...
You can decide on your own.
Yeah, well, that's hard.
No one is telling you anymore what to do.
What happens? It's a...
You know. I was like, let me say something, because I'm older than you. I experienced exactly the same. Yeah. Like from 20 to 23, I did my BA in journalism and corporate communications. And then I started with my master's in media studies. And I was 27 when I finished, like when I handed in. So you will definitely have your MBA when you're 27, pretty certain. But then was like, oh my God, now my career is going to start.
Yeah.
And then can somebody please tell me what to do now? I was used to somebody's telling me like, do the assignment, do this, do that. And I mean, I've always had this strong path, like sport, education, blah, 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 everything that you have, competing, obviously, teaching kids. It's the same. And now when you grow up, like for me personally, I don't have much spare time, free time.
Yeah.
I'm like always doing something for like my personal achievements.
Cool.
If it's not training, I do the podcast. And if I don't do this, then I do this. And like people keep asking me, what about your free time? Do you ever like see your friends? Or I'm like, well, it needs good management. And that's, I feel shitty saying that, but I guess if you have these certain goals in life, then what should you do?
Yeah, this is really hard.
We are hard workers.
Yeah.
So that means suffering on the other side, or?
Yeah, well, I also feel like if I'm not doing something, I'm doing something wrong. Or like if I have free time, this is a problem, and this is really not a good situation, you know? Like, what do I do? Okay, what I need to do something.
Do you sometimes feel useless when you do nothing?
Yeah.
I know what you mean. Maybe I should clean then, or maybe I should do another session, or maybe I should, you know, prepare something, or at least do something.
Yeah, the downtime is so hard. This is so true. Yeah.
What would be your dream project and with whom?
Oh, this is also super hard. My dream project. Okay, so something with our sport in the Olympics would obviously be a dream. Yeah. Okay, I'll section that. So first of all, if our sport is in the Olympics, since I was younger, I always wanted to be in the Olympics. I'm sure you probably have had this dream as well. Okay, the sports that we fell in love with didn't necessarily work out for that. And so now I feel like I have a responsibility kind of to the next youth generation that does have the potential to be in the Olympics. Now I feel like, okay, it's my responsibility to like make that happen for them. And so, okay, I might not be able to be an athlete in the Olympics, you never know, but I can at least maybe be a coach or some type of
national team
leader.
Coach.
Yeah, this would be super cool. Or some type of leadership position to help our sport in that regard. This would be really amazing. And I think this would be also very bittersweet because I'd be a little jealous that I'm not an athlete, of course, but just super proud of this whole journey. It's been a long journey, so
I feel like you. It was the same with me. Like, oh my God, I could be like the national team coach probably, but kind of jealous that I would not compete myself. But at the other time, on the other hand, it's be like, yeah, nice, I was the coach getting them there.
Yeah, this is cool.
And since cool. You know, for me, I was an amateur long time, and then last year I moved to the pro side. And as a pro, you can never fight back in amateur. And amateur is only Olympic. So that's another issue.
Okay.
So how does it work for you? Are you like a pro? Yeah, you're a pro.
We don't have this type of distinction in our sport yet up to this point. So I can still compete.
Maybe you can.
Yeah. I mean, it's more of just like if it's in the Olympics while I still have working knees and like, yeah, like everything is still going okay. And also can keep up with the upcoming generations. You know, they're super good, really strong and fast and powerful. So staying on top of that would also be really tough. Yeah, you never know what could happen. But that would for sure be a dream, is just somehow being in that top leadership for helping our sport. And yeah, this would be pretty cool.
How long are you planning doing jump rope skipping?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know jump rope will always be in my life, no matter what. And this was something I did think about on my journey to be a physician, is how can I keep jump rope in our sport, in our life? And one of the things I've really wanted to pursue is research of injuries in our sport and female athlete issues, because I think there's a lot of unknown elements and research still to be done in both regards. And for jump rope, you know, our sport is really wide open as far as what injuries are common to athletes. I'm jumping on concrete every day. That probably isn't the best. We need some results to show that, you know, especially if we're going to be in the Olympics, we're going to need that type of research behind our sport. I think this is really, really a cool area as well, as far as going back to medical school and pursuing that also. Yeah.
It's a matter of fact, right, that girls on period or women on period, they injure faster than if you're not. It's a thing with your Bindegewebe, which I don't know in English.
Okay. There's a ligament and tendon softening that happens during the menstrual cycle. Yeah. So there's tendons.
I was going to say that like this.
Tony. Yeah. I got you, girl. We can do this together.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Do you have something like a life motto?
Oh, do what you love and be happy. Yeah.
Say it again.
Do what you love and be happy.
Do what you love and be happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I have to say, we are almost at the end of this podcast.
For real?
Oh my God, yeah. It's been almost an hour.
That's insane.
Tori, if you want, the last few words are yours. And then we're out here.
Okay. I don't know. Thank you so much. This has been really fun. You're really awesome. And I'm
You're
happy. I'm happy we've met. This is my first time in Berlin. And so far, it's an amazing experience. Even though I've seen none of Berlin. I met you.
It's good.
How amazing. So, danke for everything.
You're welcome. Bitteschön. Thank you very much for coming. Next episode is going to be in German again. It's going to be Kevin Kuske. And thanks for listening and watching again. Women Hit Harder. And see you soon. Bye-bye.
Schön, dass ihr wieder dabei wart bei Women Hit Harder, dem Female Power Podcast mit mir, Julia Dorni. Und denkt dran, machen ist wie wollen, nur krasser.